This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the, hey Marge, did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Running a growing business means getting the insights you need wherever you are. With Shopify's single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy. You're listening to the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast, episode 49, sponsored by ComicHole.com. Hi, welcome to the iFanboy.com Pick of the Week podcast. This is episode 49. My name is Connor. I'm here with Josh.
Hello.
And Ron.
Hey.
And
I got to come up with a new hello. My hey is getting kind of old.
You should get a signature kind of thing.
Yeah, I need some sort of catchphrase.
Yodel.
Howdy.
What happened?
We are iFanboy, and we like comics, and we read comics, and every week we read a bunch of comics, and one of us writes a review on the best comic that they read, and they post it on our website, iFanboy.com, and then we talk about it on the podcast, and other things of various interests and comic natures. I don't think that's even a word or a phrase. But
natures?
Can we get Fred Willard on the show?
We probably could.
And then Batman goes and he kicks down the door, and then...
We should do an episode where we get three people who aren't us, but... act like they're
acting like us. Yeah, that's a good idea.
We'll talk about that later.
You know what? I think we could find those.
So before we get to the review, we're going to remind everybody this is a review show.
I just got that.
And that falls apart. We're not even 2 minutes out of the gate. Josh has got the pick of the week. Hit it,
Josh.
There might be spoilers.
Yeah, because we're talking about books that happened already, and you can't talk about it and be like, you know, on page 8 when that thing happened, and I'm going, yeah. So it was my pick this week.
Is that a question?
No, I don't know. My pick this week, and I think I was covering because it was my pick last week.
Yes, and I was out of town, and Connor was under the weather. So.
I believe I was channeling Connor. Because
it would have been
It was Batman 657.
Shocking.
So apparently someone is acting like you, and it's me. Were you surprised by the pick?
Well, I did say shocking 2 seconds ago, so that would be my indication that I was surprised.
So I'm guessing this is going to be kind of a combative type of show. Like, instead of us being sort of, like, jocular with some camaraderie, it's going to be like that?
It's going to be one of these shows.
Listen, you jackass, I just said it. I'm not giving you any leeway.
Yes, I was surprised.
Did you even read the book?
I quit. You do your own damn pick.
I'm just going to laugh.
No, I was surprised, and I was happy, and I was conflicted because I...
You were conflicted.
Because I don't like him, and I didn't want to agree.
I was conflicted because I was sick, so I couldn't get my books until Thursday, and his review went up Wednesday, and I was conflicted on whether or not to read it. But
you
I did, though. I did.
And you were conflicted.
I was, for about 30 seconds, and then...
All right, we got a lot to get to. So anyway, this book, this is my favorite of the Grant Morrison run so far. It's the third issue in his run, and the reason that I really dug it, not so much, like, the last one was this big fight with all these man-bats, and there was all these pop art sort of what's the word I'm looking for?
References
and suggestions.
Meta-textual.
Meta-textual commentary. So you know, and it was like cute and clever, but it really wasn't much of a story. And even so, this story is a little bit, I would call it hyper-real. Like, it's not like a lot of more modern comic books that came in the late 90s and in the last 5 years that have been, you know, sort of like superheroes based in the real world. Grant Morrison is truly going for that just slightly bigger than life Batman, and he's not as grim. And it really, what the thing that struck me as it really reminded me of reading a Batman book from the 70s that was, you know, like written by Denny O'Neill and drawn by Neil Adams. The art evoked that sort of Neil Adams style. And I'm not, you know, I wrote in my review, I'm not nostalgic for that kind of thing. Ron will a lot of times say, I really liked the book because I read it and it felt like it used to feel. I never say stuff like that. But when I was reading these, it really...
Nor do I pass judgment on that comment.
No, I'm just...
I will say that...
I'm being combative. I thought that was the theme.
Oh, right, it makes me uncomfortable.
Right. Sit down and shut up, mutant boy.
Jeez.
I will say that... I just to interrupt you for a second. This is just to build on the point you made.
You're an asshole.
When Morrison was... I give up. I need
when
a drink.
Morrison...
When Morrison first was announced and they interviewed him, he said he was going to try to evoke that feeling of the 70s bare-chested, world-traveling, you know, girl-bedding Batman. And this is really the first issue that he's really, really nailed that,
yeah,
that feeling.
There's that one, there's a page at the very end, a full-page splash of Batman sort of swinging through Gotham City. And his cape is the same size or larger than a blimp that is just in the background.
Well, it's perspective.
And I know that, but the point is it's a big, giant cape, and he's swinging around the city. And it's funny because the first half of it's kind of, hokey. It's kind of charming hokey, but basically the Bat Brat, the little kid who's supposedly Batman's illegitimate child, is just being a jerk because he's willful and he's been raised to think that he's the be-all, end-all, and he's trained to be a killer and all this stuff. And he's just being a big brat, and it's kind of funny. And Batman puts up with it for a little while, and then he puts the kid in his place and kind of earns the kid's respect. And... all of a sudden,
Batman's gotta be the scariest dad ever.
I think so.
When he yells at him, basically turns into a demon in that panel.
Mm-hmm.
That's the fucking scary
dad. And so the thing is that it backfires on him, and the kid decides that he has to earn his respect, and by doing so he goes to very extreme measures. One of them, he beats the living snot out of Tim Drake.
He does something mysterious to Robin, to Alfred?
Yes, he does. And he murders somebody.
Yikes.
Which sort of all comes out of nowhere. All of a sudden, it gets like really heavy in the midst of all this. It was a really fun comic book.
That's the best kind of heavy that comes right smack in the dab in the middle of goofiness.
Yep. And you know, there's a big fight in the Batcave with all of the familiar Batcave stuff around. They're in the dinosaur, and you know, in the last panel, I don't want to give the last panel away, but you're looking at it, and it's like, woof, that's kind of grisly. Like, the last couple pages are real good.
Yes.
So I thought it was a lot of fun. And I've read opposite on the site. It's funny because I sat down after I'd done my books, and I read a lot of books. It wasn't an easy pick. There was a lot of really good books this week.
It was a packed week.
It was a ton. And
I spent $70.
I spent 28. But
after my discount.
Because I got the Phantom Midtown discount.
Yeah, I did too.
When I randomly go
to
Midtown.
We all did.
I got a free Walking Dead trade this week, basically, from that.
Oh, cool. I actually saved the money.
I put in bonds.
There's future in them bonds.
Diversified. It's got some in Image, some in DC, some in... But somebody on the site had been like, the first thing I saw when I went to sit down and do it, somebody on the site was like, "God, that was an awful Batman." I was like, "It was? Maybe I shouldn't write it, but I did anyway."
Don't let the popular opinion sway you. You stick to your guns.
I'm on media blackout before
I
write the POW. I never look at the site. I never
whatever
look at anything.
Whatever people think, that's what I'll do.
Right.
If somebody tells me I should think one way, I'm going. Whatever.
Give
Paris
me $20.
Does. So it was good. It was a really just a good, fun comic book, and it was the better side of Grant Morrison.
Ron, did you read this?
God, no.
You didn't?
I bought 13 books. I'm not going to buy another one that I don't normally read. I told you I'm only buying Detective because of Paul Dini.
What about Grant Morrison?
Screw Grant Morrison. Piss off.
I did not say that. Ron said that.
I'm not buying Batman. I told you I'm not buying Batman. I'll buy Detective as long as Dini's on it because it's been pretty good. But I'm not playing in the Morrison pool with these books these days.
Nice pronunciation of Dini, by the way.
I've learned. But I had 13 books, so I had enough on my plate to deal with. So because apparently I bought everything that had Civil War just tacked on it. So that bit into my wallet. And Ultimate Spider-Man 100 actually, you know, weighed my books down.
So. Let's talk about that debacle.
All right, let's talk about this debacle.
It was Ultimate Spider-Man 100 was easily the worst issue of the entire 100 issues run.
I think there were a lot of problems with it, and I think that the actual story was just one of the problems. I think that it's apropos that it was awful because it is the Clone Saga, and this is proving that you cannot do a good Clone Saga. The second problem was, I don't know if there was a production problem or the change in inkers or the printing, but like, was the art supposed to look sucky halfway through the book? Like, get really light and get really weird? Like, was that like a device to show it was a flashback?
Because it just looked like a printing error to me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and it just seemed too
subtle. I don't
know,
the entire issue seemed flat.
Yes,
it wasn't. It
more
wasn't
so than the normal Bagley flatness that
you. Well, that's weird because if you look in the... First of all, it's a double-sized issue. It only has a regular-sized comic in it. The rest is filler, which is annoying.
I was not happy about that. I did like the sketches, though.
The biggest annoyance, though, was 3 pages before the end of the book, all of a sudden the X-Men appear.
Right.
Yep.
Well, that was in every Marvel book this week.
That
but
still, I hate it when
off.
They do that.
If you
me
look
too.
At the sketches in the back,
yes.
They're pretty damn good.
Yeah, they're really good.
So my question is, what happens between Bagley's sketches... Is it the inking?
Is the inking that
flattens the art out?
John Dell and Drew Hennessy are to blame.
We've been ragging on Bagley, mostly just Josh, through the whole run of this book.
I don't really have anything against him. It's just fun.
No. But it's obviously not him.
His pencils are pretty nice.
I thought the pencils are great. Yeah, and I think they're. I mean, I can't tell if it was a printing error or if it was a coloring error. But like the skin tones like changed from page to page.
Yeah, it was really badly done.
And there was no consistency. I didn't like the storytelling jumping between the malformed Peter clone and the six armed
Peter clone.
Peter clone and MJ. Like, I just thought the pacing was all off, and it was just this is just a bad book.
It was like a slap in the face.
The biggest problem in this was just the bulk of the issue was just a expositional backstory telling.
Yeah,
which isn't terrible, and it wasn't I don't know.
It wasn't shocking. We didn't find anything out. I mean, like it just was stupid.
Yeah,
Darrell's gonna love this review.
Yeah,
because we hated it.
By the way, the art for X-Men First Class was quite good.
Sorry. Are you being sarcastic? Or?
No, I actually like that style.
Oh no! Actually, I looking at these two pages made because I missed this book when it came out, and I almost bought it in Midtown, and I didn't. And then looking at these two pages made me decide it was a good decision.
Yeah. Oh, you don't like that kind?
No, I did not.
Oh well.
No, not that I don't like this kind. I mean, like I just didn't like this art. I actually like the art on the cover a lot better, oddly enough.
Everybody's been saying that online.
Yeah, I mean, like I thought the interior art just didn't match the cover, and it just looked bad.
All right. That's sidetracking. My bad.
Justice League number 2.
You two
Justice
are
League
jerks.
Of America number
Sorry.
2.
Josh, go.
Once again, I believe I'm standing alone. I'm like I guess I just really like Brad Meltzer.
I like this a lot.
Did you?
Yeah,
thank
I never
God.
Said I didn't like it.
You guys weren't so into the other
all
ones.
All of a sudden, he's just like, well, since you guys hated it, like I didn't even say
yeah,
a word.
I
thought it was
really
I thought it was
dig
really
the
good.
Last two though.
Well, the zero was just was weird. And one, I didn't hate one. I liked one. I just didn't think it was. What was my problem with one? Connor had more of a problem with one.
Neither of you liked Red Tornado very much.
I like Red Tornado.
Okay.
Who are you?
I've been replaced with a life model decoy.
I have a lot of problems with this comic, and I can't put my finger on them, which is really annoying me.
Yeah.
I like this issue more than I like one, and I like it way more than I like zero, but.
I thought the Arsenal, Green Lantern, Black Canary stuff was great. I don't. The thing is, I don't like the characters I don't know. Like, I don't like the Jackal chick, and I don't like
Vixen,
and I don't like. And but I understand that they're working towards the plot. But I love the Wonder Woman, Batman, Superman voting stuff. That's just
I could
brilliant.
Watch them at a table talking about other superheroes forever.
I could watch them at a table talking about Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah, that would be good.
That would be good.
I think
believe that.
I think that the character choice is really probably what's hurting it the most for me. I I feel like at this point, the Justice League has to be big and important, and it doesn't feel big and important when it's got Hawkgirl, Red Tornado, Vixen, and Black Lightning, and Arsenal.
Well, but the thing is, keep in mind that it's still early, and how many issues before Spider-Man actually wore the costume in Ultimate Spider-Man? I mean, like he's building into it, you know, and so I imagine there's a payoff.
For me, the other side of it is, I can't believe I'm going to say this again, but this reminds me of when I first started reading comics, and I
wow, it's nostalgia day in Josh's world.
Must be. Yeah. You know when you pick up back then I would pick up an Avengers or a JLA, and I didn't know who
anybody
was
before.
Besides yeah. Batman or Superman anyway, and this is how I learn who they are.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
maybe you find a character you like.
Right.
I know who they are, and I want Aquaman and Green Arrow back, and I want
well, it's never going to be the same, Connor. Just move on.
I like how I like
where's
how
the Flash?
Nitpick of the month, and I can't believe that this was. I don't know if there were multiple covers. I can't tell, but it was like an orangey cover, and they're all kind of the team was together.
Flying at
you. Yeah. Arsenal's belt buckle is a G.
Yes.
Does it? And like
it's intentional.
Like, why is it intentional?
Well, we're gonna find out. He's changing his costume and possibly his name. We'll find out.
To what?
We don't know.
Okay. All right. Well,
the team hasn't gotten together yet.
Is he gonna be Speedy again?
No, Speedy's already
Speedy
there.
Doesn't start
Speedy's
with a G.
So what do you think of I was looking at Arsenal's costume. I'm like, you know, he's got a pretty good costume at this point.
I thought you were going to say he's got a pretty good six-pack or something.
No, he does have he has monstrous sideburns.
He's a handsome man.
Ron, are you envious of his sideburns?
No, I'm not. They're pretty good.
Patrick Dempsey's a handsome man.
I'm not envious. All right, this is the Grey's Anatomy podcast. Fantastic.
He is. I'm not going to...
I'm not jealous. I mean, I've got sideburns too. We're in the sideburn club.
Do you like the Red Tornado Tom Hanks shaky hand syndrome?
I did like the Parasite.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I liked that whole thing.
In the tiny rocking chair.
Well, I liked that he was taking away people's powers, enabling them to get past security apparatuses, but the rest of it.
I like
see this Tony Stark
again.
Standing inside the metal detector?
Yeah, I thought that too. good stuff.
But I just dig Brad Meltzer's style on these books.
Yeah, it was good.
I think he gets these voices. He makes me really like DC books, which I don't like as much when you get to these team books.
Tony Stark would never wear a tie that short. What?
Did you like anything this week, Connor?
what did I like this week?
So that'd be a no.
You like Batman.
I can't find my books. I like Batman.
We already talked about it.
I like things we're not even going to get into because it'll make the show 2 hours long.
All right, well then. So, Civil War.
Civil War. Yes.
Now, there were 4 books that came out.
I dropped one of them.
Cable Deadpool, Young Avengers Runaways,
I dropped that one.
Civil War Frontline, and Amazing Spider-Man. Captain America. I didn't pick up Captain America.
I only bought Frontline and Spider-Man.
Okay, apparently Young Avengers Runaways have nothing to do with the actual Civil War, just so you know. So if you're not reading it, you're not missing anything.
I dropped it. I decided enough was enough.
Cable Deadpool, no longer any good.
Really?
Pointless. Yeah.
People were raving about it on the site.
What is going on?
You started like a whole revolution. People were like, right on, Cable Deadpool's awesome.
It was all right. I mean, it wasn't as good as the other ones were. I don't know.
No, you're backtracking. You said it was no longer any good. Now you're on to
it
all
was
right.
No
by the end of the show,
good.
It'll be the greatest book that's ever
been
made.
It was the best book I ever read. Frontline. What do you think of Frontline?
I like the Frontline.
It continues to plod on at the C level pace.
Yes, B level pace. I'll give it a B.
I really didn't like the ending of the main story.
I liked
it
a lot. The main story, the Speedwall story.
I loved it.
Really?
I liked it. I liked him talking to the press and stuff. I thought that was good.
No, it was all fine at the end, but when they did like the
The Ruby.
Yeah, that was a little hacky.
That was a little
hacky. I loved it.
Yeah, but you're like, you got the hots for the Kennedy scandal.
No, whatever. I do too, which is why I'm like, you know, like, what is
that's
that?
That's why I loved it.
The analogy doesn't hold up.
Why didn't you marry it?
Loved it. I would if Congress let me.
Why was why was Ben Urich and the other dude wearing helmets like they're actually like in a war?
With their names on them.
I know. It was like, I know the story's called Embedded, but come on. Like, we're not that stupid.
I thought that was a great conversation here with Tony Stark.
Yeah, well, the conversation was great, and the guy talking about the Mets was awesome too. But
the only thing that really pissed me off is the continuity thing is that Thor kills Goliath in a completely different way than he kills him in the main book.
Yeah, exactly. So
that,
I agree.
That's the pencils of Thor in that first panel.
He's not very imposing.
No, but he has a tiny arm.
Yes, he does.
It's like it's like his attempt at perspective, and it's so bad.
It's like a Tyrannosaurus Rex.
And it's like the hammer is not sized correctly. And...
yeah, it's bad. This artist, Raymond Bax guy, is bad. Yeah. Bad news. Sad. But so the big main event in Civil War was Amazing Spider-Man number 535.
And it's about damn time.
So can we say the tide is now turning?
Yeah. We're going to say what happened right now, in case you hadn't been paying attention. But this to me, Spider-Man switching sides now pretty much says this is where Marvel is.
Yep.
I mean, there's nobody left on the pro-registration side who matters anymore.
Well,
Iron Man is fantastic.
It doesn't matter. You take Captain America.
They're not the heart.
You
the
take
heart,
Spider-Man and Captain America, and you put them anti-registration. I mean, as Spider-Man goes, so does the Marvel U. That's sort of how I...
Well, I think Spider-Man and Captain America are the heart, while Tony Stark and Reed Richards are the brains of the Marvel U. So,
yeah, but...
But the only thing, so basically, Spider-Man, he gets a tour of the prison. He talks a lot to Tony. He talks to Reed Richards, and he wises up and he decides he's going to switch sides. The only thing, I thought this was a great issue up until the
last page. Yeah.
When I know it's a comic book and I know it's not real. I know it's superheroes, but like, I really don't think Tony's going to burst through a wall and tackle him because he's switching sides.
No, I liked it.
All right.
I'm here to just completely just. I liked.
Maybe I'm too realistic. Yeah. Maybe.
No. I. You know what? I liked the fact that like Tony was keeping that close a tab on him.
Yeah.
I mean, they really have made Tony Stark into like they keep going. You just wait. It'll turn around. I don't think it will.
Okay. Here's the other part though. What had he done at that point to warrant being tackled?
He overheard the conversation with Mary Jane and May.
Which means he's been keeping tabs on them the whole time. And he just said, as soon as he says, I've been on the wrong side, then Tony just was like, I'm not taking any chances. Spider-Man's
because they were,
because
the whole, if you read Tony and Peter throughout the whole issue, it was like us 10 minutes ago. It was really tenuous. You know what I mean? It was really kind of, you know, like, it was really.
So he's been preparing for it, probably. You know, Tony's not stupid. He knows it's coming.
Well.
I guess.
No, I mean, the progression made sense in the idea that, like, did Peter actually think they weren't, like, every room wasn't bugged? Like he's not going to hear us in the kitchen, you know? Like, if he's avoiding the cameras and stuff, you know?
You know what else is dumb?
What?
Having Spider-Man put on the suit that Tony built.
Well, I think that'll play out in the next issue.
I should hope so, but how dumb is he? He's got your kitchen bugged. He's probably really got a failsafe on your suit.
I really did like when they were arguing earlier in the issue and Iron Man's all in Peter's face and he's like, take off the helmet. just because the one panel of like Iron Man's helmet in his face just looked kind of funny to me. It was like chin sticking out, you know. Mm-hmm. But I like how Peter's standing up to him. That's freaking awesome. And the whole Reed Richards story was great. I thought that was – I mean, I know we've given JMS a lot of shit in the past couple podcasts, but I thought this issue was well written. It was really good. And oddly enough, it was drawn by Ron Garney, one of my favorite artists, and I didn't even realize until I just looked at it right now.
He's been drawing it for months, hasn't he?
I know, but it's not the Ron Garney I love.
It's because it's penciled, it's inked differently.
Yeah, it's penciled and inked differently. I like the thinner.
He's doing that Scott Collins kind of line work thing.
Yeah.
I like it.
Civil War, okay. Well, just to touch on the mutants, X-Men number 191 came out, and I groaned when I picked it up.
I dropped it.
And then I was excited when I opened up the page and I saw Chris Bachalo wasn't drawing it and it was a fill-in artist. And guess what?
Boy, that made a difference, huh?
Oh, yes. All of a sudden, it's like, oh!
I mean, the two things. A, the art made sense. The storytelling. Artist wasn't great. Didn't need to be. But it made sense. I knew what was happening in panel to panel, and it was also an expositional issue.
He was kind of a McNiven wannabe, kind of, almost.
He's a little more cartoony than that.
Well, no. If you look at the panel of Cannonball laying down on the ground and the black background and all the shots of like the stuff, the life that he thought he was living, that's very McNiven-y. I don't know, the hair. That's what really struck out to me.
I really think it's a huge improvement. It shows me where the problem may have been lying.
Yeah, and unfortunately, Bachelo's a name, and he's probably going to be back next
year. He's definitely going to be back.
Humberto Ramos is doing 3 issues.
That's going to be awesome.
And then they're bringing back Bachelo.
Through 200, which is only, you know.
Although, I have to say, Bachelo's art isn't nearly as bad as the Spider-Man costume in the ad for Become the Hero.
God.
Did you see that?
We can't start talking about the ads again.
I know.
There's
sorry.
Naruto ads all over these, and A-Rod has giant pants.
Yeah. don't make me start talking about Beckham. But
he's dreamy.
He's another good-looking guy.
He's got a very strange voice. It's very, the first time I heard him talk, I'm like, oh, that's what he sounds like?
That's
oh,
what
God.
He sounds like. What's the problem?
So,
he's very high-pitched.
Anything else come out this week?
What's on our list? What were we going to do?
No, he sounds like a British Muppet.
I know, he's got a very high voice. He's not too smart either.
He sent me a texter.
I just wanted to mention really quickly, neither of you guys read it, and I don't really have a hell of a lot to say about it, but Jack of Fables.
Oh, I picked it up.
No, you did not.
I did.
Really?
No, I'm totally bullshitting.
And it wouldn't make any sense. if you like Fables and you weren't sure if the spinoff book would be any good, because a lot of times when there's a good book and they do a spinoff book, it's real good. It feels just like the regular book. It's just a little more of it, and it focuses on Jack. And if you dig it, then you'll probably like it a lot. The one other little thing is that if anybody out there is reading Trials of Shazam, it's surprisingly quite good. I don't think anybody will read it.
You know, I had the first issue in my hand, mm-hmm. and then I put it back.
Second issue was really good. I don't know a thing about the Marvels, and I quite enjoyed it.
I've heard that around. I'll probably get the collection when it comes out.
Mm-hmm. Around the halls.
Yeah. around the water cooler.
He hangs around high schools. What do you guys hear about Shazam?
You're supposed to keep that a secret.
What's the word on the street, eh? I need the city desk. Shazam is good.
All right.
I go in undercover, like baggy pants, like bad attitude.
You're on MySpace talking about Shazam.
What's up, dudes?
All right. Anybody read any good trades?
That wasn't forced. I told them that I picked up the first Animal Man trade a few weeks ago, and I finally had a chance to read through it. It's from 1988, and it's really good. It's Grant Morrison's first sort of major work, I think. It's like 9 issues, and he basically got the chance to sort of reinvent Animal Man, and it's a lot of fun. It's really well done. You know, the art's
I've heard good things. I've always meant to read it.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the ones you hear about all the time.
Now, here's the thing. Did you pick it up because of reading about Animal Man in 52?
A little bit. But also, like, I had a roommate who had bought all those trades and really liked them. It's one of those things that I've always been meaning to read. The little bit in 52 made me kind of curious. And in that sense, it worked. I had some credit, and I saw it, and I was like, oh, I'll try that. And, you know, like, I've been interested in reading a little more of Grant Morrison stuff to figure out if I actually do think he's good or not. Cool. But, you know, what's interesting is this thing only came maybe a year or two on the heels of Crisis, and it doesn't have that 80s and previous sort of overly wrought dialogue at all. Like, it reads like a modern comic book, and I think that helps it a lot. But it's almost, it's 18 years old at this point.
I might borrow it when you're done.
I am done.
I'm going to borrow it this weekend.
It's very good, though. I dug it.
If I wanted to buy it, though, where could I get it?
I guess I'll do the ad.
Oh, that's smooth.
Just piss all over my segue.
That's because you ruined
it. You have a degree in this.
I know.
Comichold.com is your best solution for you could go to comichold.com and they would deliver it and you would get a discount on it and it would arrive in excellent shape quite quickly. It would be a good thing for you to do. You go to Comic Hole, which somebody asked, it's Hole, H-O-L-E, which is your best solution. They have Marvel and DC, Dark Horse, Image. Those books are all 40% off if you want to get your weekly books through them. You can pre-order all that stuff. You could get trades from them. And their hardcovers and their trades are all 30 to 50% off, and they get new stuff all the time. You can go there and let them know that you heard about them here at ifanboy.com or on the podcast.
Comichold.com.
And their slogan is still "From our hole to your house."
And you still love it, don't you?
It's so filthy.
Dirty, dirty.
I don't know if it's supposed to be filthy or not, but it is, and I like them for that. It's
all right,
sexy.
Cool. So the deluge of email continues.
Buckle down. We got some mail.
Our first one comes from Garrett from Temecula, California. And Garrett is very enthusiastic. He loves the podcast. He just started listening to it about a week ago and downloaded all the episodes and has been listening to them. So that's awesome.
He did a 50-hour marathon session.
Yeah,
that's a lot of us. I couldn't listen to us.
I feel bad for his girlfriend. his first question was, he's wondering if we could explain the whole DC time thing. Just kidding. But he actually asked us to do a shout out for his girlfriend of a year. So Garrett from Temecula, California would like us to shout out that he loves Brittany Marie. All right.
I fanboy where relationships, where love comes to bloom.
I'm loving this whole relationship thing. We should start a side podcast.
It totally should. Comics and relationships. But he did have a question that I actually thought was a good question. What did we think about rock and roll comics? He loves classic rock, like Black Sabbath and Led Zeppelin or The Doors, and he thought it would be actually cool to see a comic on The Doors or something.
God, it must be hard to find a radio station for you to listen to.
The reason why...
Oh, come on!
I wanted to was because that was funny. I remember in middle school, somehow, like right in middle school, I was discovering like music other than classic rock, no offense, Garrett. And I found a rock and roll comic telling the story of Jane's addiction. And it was awesome.
Was it encompassing of their experience?
It talked about the heroin and the sex. And I mean, it was
really
great. It was awesome. And I remember being like in eighth grade going, this is amazing. and it was talk about convergence of right time. I mean, like I happened to just start listening to Jane's at the time. So, I mean, it was like it was the right time, right place type thing. But I remember this company put out like they did comics about Alice Cooper and Jane's Addiction and like all these other bands. And they were really cool.
They were the Kiss comics.
Yeah, but those were sucky.
But you know what? This has really like not been done. Like he mentions, like a Doors comic. Like it would be kind of cool to see like
a biography.
Yeah, a biographical comic on somebody, but done well.
Yeah, totally. So publishers, Garrett and iFanboy wants to see rock and roll bio comics.
Who should be done first?
So and Garrett thanks us for getting into comics again. Who should be done first? They totally should do Led Zeppelin. They've got some stories.
That would be an adults only comic.
Did you ever read those tour story, the Red Snapper story?
Yeah.
Yeah. Whew. So, right.
Yeah, they don't deny it either.
I know.
It's not one of those things like, oh, that wasn't. They were like, oh, yeah, it happened. Just like that.
It was
crazy. In fact, it was crazier than the story.
We couldn't even tell you.
All right, so thank you, Garrett, for the email. Our next email comes from Jeremy.
Straight out of Waldorf,
Maryland.
his joke, not mine.
His first question is, do we think the Foot Clan from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was named after the ninja group The Hand from Marvel Comics?
Probably.
It was the 80s, wasn't it? It was crazy. What came first, the hand or the foot?
Probably very similar.
That's metaphysical.
Timed.
That is metaphysical. I mean, Eastman and Laird, whatever, they were doing Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles early 80s, right?
84-ish?
No, earlier than that,
really?
Wasn't it? Yeah, I think so.
Miller was doing Daredevil in 82?
Was the hand, and the hand was in that.
The hand was in that, but I don't know if they were around before.
You know what's
that.
So funny is that I know the hand from X-Men, and the hand totally weren't an X. I mean, they became X-Men villains, but like they totally weren't originally X-Men villains. I miss the hand and AIM and all those like those great organizations.
They're using Hydra a lot now.
Well, they are using Hydra, but I love the fact that because there's an Elektra in charge of the hand now.
Yes,
she is.
And like I feel as if that's like a whole ton of stories that's such a great idea, and they're not doing anything with it.
They were just in Daredevil.
Yeah, but they just the ninjas appear and that's it.
There's kind
of a thing
going
on. What the ninjas
do?
They appear and they kill you and they leave.
Trust me, I know what the ninjas do.
Okay. They're doing a thing in Marvel right now. They're not paying attention to anything else.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And then Joe said that you know, like after this is over, they're gonna just do comics for 2 or 3 years, and that everybody do their own thing.
Well, I hope that we'll see some hand. So,
I have no hand.
His second question is: what are our plans for our 50th podcast? Will there be another all email podcast or some sort of 50th podcast extravaganza? What is he talking about?
I don't have any idea.
Wait, this is 49, right?
Oh shit! Oh wait, our next episode is the 50th episode?
No, there will be no plans for it.
There are no plans.
Not at all.
Our approach is that 50 is cool. Technically, 52 would be our year anniversary, but for some reason, our year anniversary falls on our 54th episode, right, guys?
I don't understand how that makes mathematical sense.
We screwed up somewhere.
We did too much.
We did too much, yes. We delivered too much. So, actually, you can be looking forward to the 54th episode extravaganza, and details will be coming in the next couple of weeks. So, look out for that.
I mean, sure, next week we'll be like, woohoo, it's 50. It's great. But
yeah.
It's just going to be the same old crap.
Yeah, exactly. So. And finally, his last question is one of the earlier podcasts, we said that Marvel fans would never allow for a major reboot of their universe, but it can be done in DC because they've already done it before. But he's asking if the same thing could really be done today. Like if they went back and rewrote Batman's origin story, and instead of three Robins, we were left with just one, who happened to be Dick Grayson, you know, no more Nightwing until this Robin grows up, and Superman never died, was never married, blah, blah, blah. He's just basically saying, you know, the only, you know, like, could that really happen? Would DC fans really stand for it? Wouldn't there be a revolt?
All of those things he just mentioned, I cross my fingers for every month.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I would kick my heels with glee if Dick Grayson was Robin again and Superman was never married to Lois.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you'd be fine with scrapping everything that's happened?
You really want to get rid of the fact that the Jason Todd thing happened?
Yeah, why not? The whole, I mean, I think he's misinterpreting the idea of a reboot, which is not, you don't rewrite origins and things
like that. Infinite Crisis is not...
That's not a reboot. The only reboot we've really had is Crisis on Infinite Earths. And all that does is simplify.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And start over, but start over from where it was before. It's not like you start over and Batman is a, you know, clown.
They've messed it up since then, anyway.
Batman the Clown.
You know, circus
his
clown.
Kids' parties.
Yeah. I mean, a reboot is just where it starts over.
He's doing really scary balloon animals.
It's Ultimate Spider-Man.
Yeah, well, no, Ultimate Spider-Man isn't a reboot.
Spider-Man's a rewrite. It's not a reboot.
No, it's a rewrite, yeah. A reboot would have been if they scrapped 616 and said the Ultimate Universe is now.
I will.
You know why? Because it's a mutant-based definition. It came out of Excalibur, so F you. So yeah, if they scrapped 616 and said that Ultimate Universe is now the universe, we're rebooting it. But no, it was a reimagining, so...
Yeah, it's not the same. Reboot, start over from where you were before.
But honestly, I think that you are the minority. I think that people would freak out.
I'm absolutely the minority, but that's because everyone else is stupid.
Because he's a gross.
Except for our listeners, they're cool.
Way to be tolerant.
No, but I mean, that's what I look for, and that's what I want. I've been saying for years and years and years that Superman should not have married Lois Lane.
Right. Because now it's like Spider-Man and Mary Jane.
Yep.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Because every few years they've got to come up with some contrived marriage issue. Like, they made Lois, like, literally insane a few years ago just because it gets boring.
All right, well, thank you, Jeremy.
Also, ladies just get crazy, you know?
Our next email comes from Ryan. In an earlier issue, or earlier episode, issue? he heard us talking about getting back issues on DVD ROM discs, but he can't find out where to get them at. Maybe we can point him in the right direction. Ryan, if you go to ifanboy.com and click the Amazon banner on the right side, and then go to amazon.com and type in X-Men DVD or Avengers DVD or Spider-Man DVD, you'll find them there.
Or if you're going to buy anything from Amazon, you could click it through there too.
Yeah, not that we, you know.
No, we condone that. We downright recommend it.
So go to Amazon, you can find it there. And if you continue to have problems, email us and we'll help you out.
They might have them on Comical.
They might have him on Comical. Check out Comical too. Yeah. His second question is he's looking to start a new series in trades. Maybe we have some recommendations that don't have to do with zombies.
Animal Man.
Well, do they have to be current series or they can be old series?
New series in trades. I don't know.
New series. That's the new. What's new mean?
Exactly. Yeah.
New to him or new to comics?
Here's like, I'm gonna. We've done a bunch of stuff. I'm going to recommend one. There's 10 trades in a row, so it goes through a whole thing, a big story. Starman.
Cool.
James Robinson's Starman. I've only read half of it, and it's real, real good.
Cool. Ryan, your homework assignment is Starman. Let us know what you think of it. And finally, his last question is, he thought the first episode of Heroes was a pretty sweet kickoff. What did we think? I liked it. I don't know. I mean, but I saw it already, so it was kind of a rehash for me.
Yeah,
Josh, you didn't see it. What did you think?
Well, I'd read the X-Men before.
It's not exactly.
No, it wasn't exactly, but I liked it. I had fun watching it. It was a good time. It may have helped that I watched it with you guys. It was a little bit cliched, but not as far as TV goes.
Right.
Like, they can go ahead and use comic book tricks because the TV audience doesn't know those things.
Right.
It was pretty well done. I'm interested to see more. It could go either way. Huge ratings.
Yeah, did great.
I was surprised.
Awesome. My only problem was at the end with the flying bit. The wire work was just awful. But whatever. I guess they're a cheap budget pilot.
It's TV.
Okay, so...
There's a whole discussion about it on the website.
Yes, go to ifanboy.com, read what other people thought of Heroes, and we'll be watching the rest of the season until it gets canceled around episode 13.
13? Wow.
Yeah, that's my guess.
Ambitious.
Ambitious, yeah. I'm thinking it's going to make it to February. Because they've got a commitment to do the 11 in a row with no breaks.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Well, the funny thing is that Jeff Loeb's got a lot of comic work in front of him, too.
Yeah.
So he must.
Well,
he's only supervising producing.
He's not really. I mean, he's involved, but it's not like he's there slaving over the script.
Do you know what writers on TV shows do?
I had lunch with Jeff last week, and he was telling me about it.
What
the fuck am I talking about?
A supervising producer, basically, it means he's a writer on the show, which means he's in the writer's room, which probably means that he's there 10 to 12 hours a day at least.
Wow. But he's
especially
old.
On a new show.
But he's old.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
And then he's got to be there for shoots, and he's got to be there for – I mean, like, supervising producers, that's not like a part-time job.
So now – you know, 30, 40 minutes in the podcast, you whip out your degree and start talking about production.
Where were you when you had to read the ad copy correctly?
I don't have a degree in voiceover. I took a class once.
I was just going to say, I'm not going to touch that one. All right, so our next email comes from Scott, even though his email address was Kimberly. And he says, on the off chance that we're serious, do not under any circumstance have a girl listen to the podcast so we can ask her out for the guy. This is a phenomenally bad idea.
Wow, Scott could not be more wrong.
Exactly.
That is not just a good idea. It is a fantastic idea.
We haven't heard back from him. We don't know what happened.
I know. We're all like living on the edge.
Dude, seriously, though? Come on, he chickened out.
You think?
He must have.
Well, we did tell him to take it slow. It wasn't like he was going to do anything.
No, we did not.
We said,
don't take it slow.
Then you're the creepy guy, like, looking from over the shelf. Like, you're acting like you're reading Wonder Woman, but you're like,
No, but I meant, like, when I said don't take it slow, I meant, like, 6 months. I didn't mean, like, this week. I don't think we said
Josh and I did. We said go do it now.
I said to lay some groundwork, to do some homework.
No. You got to do it or not do it.
The women are not stupid.
I'm not going to touch that one either.
Really, the best thing is to agree with that.
Yes, I agree wholeheartedly.
But really, Scott, you're wrong. That's a great idea. Anybody who wants us to ask out anybody on the show, we will do it.
We will.
Maybe you're saying it's a bad idea for different reasons. We're saying for the purposes of the show, it's a great idea.
Also, if you are the one asking, bring a little recording device with you so we can catch the action.
We'll play it.
Exactly. We want to hear the reaction. Videotape it if you can. That'd be even awesomer. So, speaking of women, we got an email from Natalie from Singapore, which is awesome because I think technically Singapore is – wait, she says it's closer than Australia but further than New Zealand. But it has more accessible comic book stores and no sheep, which is, I guess, a good thing.
Less sheep is always good for where you're living.
She's got a question and a comment. Firstly, she wants to know what we think about the current prices of comics, especially in relation to their target audience, as well as to attracting new readers. As a 17-year-old student – oh, I didn't read that earlier. I find that most of my peers are pretty open to reading comics. It's the steep price of comics that tends to put them off. A U.S. $2.99 costs just under $5 here, and while the price of trades is falling, it still leverages about $30 for a softcover copy. These people usually read manga as an alternative as it's manga. Much cheaper and gives them more story for their money.
That's a problem.
You can move to America.
Pricing in comics is a problem even here.
You're an imperialist.
No, the price is a problem. Can you believe that? I mean, like, look at Ultimate Spider-Man was $3.99.
Yeah, for that.
Well, listen to what she says, though. What do you think about the price in relation to their target audience?
Right, and
teenagers
the question is, who is the
target audience?
Exactly, who is the target audience?
They said, hey, these 20 to 40-year-old men, mostly, can afford to pay $3 an issue, and they will every single time without complaining or blinking an eye.
Well, the thing is that I think that's kind of legitimatizing it, but the price of paper has gone up dramatically in the past 15 years.
That too, but look at the production quality of a comic book now as opposed to when you started reading.
It's a lot better.
It's a lot better.
Right, yeah.
But also, this just shows they're just paying lip service to wanting to have kids read comics. They're not actually trying to get kids to read comics, because if they did, they wouldn't make $4 comics.
Yeah. Right, yeah. So you've got a good point.
But it's a problem, and if you're a college student or a student of any kind on a budget, comics is going to be a hard thing to buy.
Yeah.
Luckily, the value of the dollar is dropping like a stone. So.
And BitTorrent. Yeah. Oh, wow. Did I just say that?
But there's also the idea of what's your dollar value for the time you get to spend of it reading a comic.
So I'll be honest, is sometimes like I'll read an issue, and I'll be like, that shouldn't have cost me $3.
You're done in like, you know, a minute and a half, and you're just, you know.
Sometimes I will.
Yeah, the thing is, I don't lament over the longing for the 75-cent days or the dollar days or the $1.25 days. I mean, like, I'm okay, but I can afford it because I'm not a teenager.
You know who doesn't lament is rich people.
Yes.
That's from issue 2, or episode 2.
So,
yeah, but so, not yeah. everybody is in a position to not be able to limit about it.
Like, take the dude.
Yeah.
From the site. He, like, we get stuff from him on the site, like, couldn't afford books this week. He's a student.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know. We don't have the answer.
No, the answer is it sucks.
Yeah,
and it's bad, and I don't think it's going. You know, it's not going.
But it's not. But it's not gonna. But it's not gonna change. I mean, if you look at magazines cost $4, $5, $6.99 an issue. I mean, like it's unfortunately.
Yeah, but subscriptions to magazines don't cost anything anymore.
That's true.
Right. Yes, but unfortunately, subscriptions to comics lead to badly packaged comics and ruining your collection.
Well,
no. Not unless you buy it through ComicHole.com.
She's got a subscription there.
She's got one last comment.
Yes, and it's. She says that she knows female comic book readers are a relatively rare breed, but you don't think acting like little bamfs every time one shows up on the site or Frapper Map kind of puts them off? Any girl who likes comics enough to listen to a comics podcast is probably just like the rest of your listeners and should not be treated any differently. But on a side note, she enjoys the relationship advice we give.
Which is stereotypical, really.
Yeah. Do we have a response?
Oh, I enjoy the relationship advice. I think
yeah,
it's
so
cool.
I
didn't think we were treating anybody any differently, to be honest.
I think women should be treated special because they're special and they're nice.
You said they were stupid.
No, I think that
I did not say that.
I think that she's confusing. Like we never like looked at the frat and I'm like, oh my god, it's a girl, dude. We should totally sleep with her. We didn't do that.
Right.
We've been saying like a girl, like it's unusual. We don't expect it.
I think it's tough because if you look at diversity and gender, typically the comic books are they skew more male.
You think?
And so, unfortunately, it is a surprise when a girl stumbles on the Frapper Map or the site, and we think it's cool because it's adding to the diversity of people commenting and people interacting.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we treat them any differently. And if it was like, you know, like if we had a comic book store and a girl came in, we wouldn't be like, oh my god, it's a girl, it's a girl. Wait, you talk to her. No, you talk to her. No, you talk to her. I mean, they would just be like, hey, cool, read this, Starman. It's good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's my point of view.
I mean, but like, of course we notice. When you're in a room with 48 men and 2 women show up, you're like, wow, look, it's somebody different. It's, you know,
right.
like
and
anything
that,
else.
And that smells nice.
See, that was the part that you're not supposed to say.
So, so thank you, Natalie. And
we bring it to your reel here.
Yeah, exactly.
There's and no PC coming out of Richards.
We hope you can, Richards. We hope you can.
He's not wrong, though. They do smell nice.
Yeah, like I said, I love women.
Some do. They're stinky women. Just like they're
right,
stinky men.
Let's not go there. So yeah, thank you, Natalie.
This is just Josh's reaction to finally riding the subway every day. He's finally finding out there are women that smell bad.
The New York City stink.
Will all the people just get out of my damn way?
Oh, you better get used to that one. So thank you, Natalie. Hopefully you can still afford your comics and keep writing to us. With that, on to our voicemail.
Which
our
is
first one,
in no way related to what we've just talked about.
Not so at all. And first one comes from Sanchez from Queens.
Wait a minute, I live in Queens.
Yo, what up, fanboys? Skit Sanchez from Queens. You want to talk about hot chicks that work at comic book stores? I only got 3 words for you. St. Mark's Comics. Check them out. Laters.
So how do you like that one, Natalie?
way to undercut us.
I've been to St. Mark's, and there are girls who work there, I've noticed, as well. So.
Is that the place that like it's known for being really like kind of messy and all over the place? But
the store or the street?
The store.
The street has a reputation of being slightly punky.
It's very punky.
It's very punk. I mean, that's where punk lives in New York pretty much now since or did back before the Gap opened there.
Oh, so you have those chicks are the people working there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Totally. Yeah.
That is pretty
I was
going
to say totally my kind of chicks, but I didn't say it, and
it's
I didn't
okay.
say
you're
it,
allowed to
then.
Have a preference.
Nothing.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, so our next voicemail comes from Matt.
Wait, hold on. I've heard that that's a really good store to go to if you're looking for sort of weird, sort of, not weird, but like obscure sort of.
Why does it got to be weird? Just because it's punk?
Why does it got to be weird? It's not that weird. It's like any other comic book store. They've got tons of statues.
Really?
It's just like a normal store, yeah.
It's like a normal store. It just happens to be on a punky street, and the girls who work there have tattoos.
Well, no, but what I was saying is that like they have like a lot of back issue bins where you can find more obscure stuff.
Yeah, I mean they're not. It's not as glitzy as Midtown.
Hey,
I mean, and so yeah, so there, it's a bit more cavernous, yes, and there, yeah, I
and
can
you
see
can
where
sort of
there.
Dig through it and find a treasure that you didn't expect to find if you're really into that history of comics thing.
Yeah, possibly, but I would be hard pressed to see if there's anything that you couldn't find at Hanley's or Forbidden Planet or maybe Midtown. I mean, I think that they've all pretty much got the same best stuff. It's just a matter of how, you know, clean it looks.
How it's presented.
Yeah, exactly.
I see. So,
but yeah, so.
Thanks, Sanchez. All right,
thank you. Our next voicemail comes from Matt from Orlando, our buddy.
Hey, guys. How are you? It's Matt in Orlando. I missed a week calling you guys, and I'm sure you're weeping as I live and breathe, or rather as I drive because I'm in the car again, you know, driving along, not paying. Oh, shit. Oh, no. Ah! No, that wasn't a car accident. I'm kidding. Kidding. I was a tingle when you played my voicemail. Thanks for that. Here's my question for you now. We talked about comic book podcasts you listen to, but what about comic book blogs? There's a blog verse of people who write about comics and spit venom and crap. What's on your bookmarks in terms of comic book blogs? Thanks, guys. Great podcast. Goodbye.
I don't know if I read any comic blogs.
Zero.
What is a comic blog?
I don't know.
Is it Augie's thing a blog?
It's a column.
It's a column.
It's a blog, though.
No, I go to
iFanboy.com.
Yeah, that's a blog, isn't it?
Yeah, that's technically
a blog.
Wait a
minute, that's the one I read every day.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't know anybody else like blog. That there's like a...
There's a blog at Newsarama, which I will look at every so often, but it's something I read every day.
It's not like there's a Wonkhead or something of comics.
No.
So 2004.
Yeah. There aren't really any.
Yeah, it's not the, I mean, Matt, do you read any?
We don't really read comics or about them.
What nobody realizes that I haven't read a single comic book in about 6 months. I've been completely faking it.
Batman, that had action. Lots of it.
I just wait to see what everyone on the site says, and then I form my opinions from that.
Can you believe what happened to Spider-Man? I mean, wow.
As he sweats into the microphone, dabbing the sweat away from his head. Stress of faking it.
So thank you, Matt, for your voicemail, and Sanchez. And if you guys want to call, or you girls want to call and leave us a voicemail, you can call 1-888-FANBOYS. That's 1-888-326-2697.
You think somebody's going to call us up and just be like, you sexist pigs?
I can guarantee it.
And
we haven't gotten a voicemail from a female either, so don't think that by the time we get like our first female voicemail, we won't be like, listen, it was a girl's voice on the podcast for the first time ever. Which will stand in stark contradiction to Augie's voice.
So, were there any girls on the Frapper map this week?
Oh, that's me, isn't it? possibly. Yes, Sarah from Boston, Massachusetts.
Hot.
Now's where the trumpets play and stuff.
I'm joking.
Oh, you're dragging us all down.
I'm sorry.
I don't think I've ever actually had a real-life female comic book friend.
That's a very good question.
You only have two other comic book friends.
Oh!
I've had
harsh.
Them, though.
That's harsh. I've known girls who read comics.
Yes, Casey.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she doesn't read comics.
Yeah, she does.
No,
Not like we do.
She orders them from MidtownComics.com.
No, but it's not like she's like, hey, are you going with me on Wednesday? And I'd be like, oh, yeah, I can't go till late. Like,
well, that's because she lives in Jersey.
That's not the point.
Oh, okay. I'm just saying.
You couldn't go over there and be like, hey, how was Civil War?
Well, because she doesn't read that book. She reads the indie books.
You know what? You know my point, and you're just arguing with me. Because
who else was on the Frapper map?
Oh, yeah, sorry. New Dad from Herndon, Virginia. Peter from Atlanta, Georgia. James from Harris from Greensboro, North Carolina. Kevin from Windsor, Ontario, which seems like we've had before. G-Dog from Grand Rapids, Michigan. Arian Doss from New York. James from Newberry Park. Locked in the Attic from Lansing, Michigan. Sarah, the aforementioned Sarah from Boston, Massachusetts. Tycho Brahe from Fresno.
From Penny Arcade? It's Bray.
And some other people. Glenn Watson from Huntsville, Alabama. That's good to know from Pittsburgh. Francis from Seville. Philip Weber from Avon, Connecticut. Rob Ellis from Reading, England. Bill Stanley from Riverdale.
That's good to know is the podcast, isn't it?
Last week we had somebody on the Frapper map named Tad Stones, who apparently we skipped right over, and our dear friend Augie pointed out that he's actually quite the accomplished animation guy.
Animator.
Animator.
You could say animator.
animator. So we're excited to have Tad on the Frappy
Comaton.
Thank you. I believe he worked on like Darkwing Duck and stuff like
that. That would make him a pro, correct?
He is a pro, yes.
Nice.
Ever inching towards validity. So
every inch we take, we slide back with the girl talk.
If you
want to, I want that on the banner on the top
as
the
a tagline.
What was it?
Inching towards validity. So,
since 2000.
If you want to join Sarah from Boston and Tad from Burbank on the Frapper map, you can go to frapper.com/ifanboy. That's frapper.com/ifanboy, or go to ifanboy.com and click on the banner in the upper right hand corner.
Tad, do you want to draw my book?
He's an animator, not an illustrator.
Which is about a rock band, by the way.
He's not a miracle worker.
Ow.
So if you want to partake in witty banter like this, but in the text form, you can go to ifanboy.com and check out the discussion with not just the three of us, but a lot of other people who like to talk about heroes and Robert Downey Jr. And
much nicer to
books.
People on the site than we are to each other, yes. Because we find that this type of sarcasm doesn't go over so well in text form.
Oh, or you found
weekly
the hard way.
You did it again.
You could also go to ifanboy.com and click on the Pick of the Week banner and read Josh's review about Batman and read what other people thought was good this week. And please let us know what you thought was good this week.
You can email us at contact@ifanboy.com or leave us a voicemail at 1-888-FANBOYS, which is 326-2697, with any questions, comments, hate mail, which I'm sure we're going to get this week. You can also go to myspace.com. One of you is supposed to jump in on the space there. /ifanboy, and you can be our friend. That's myspace.com/ifanboy.
So,
Cue Josh.
There are three of us here with degrees in this.
If you like the podcast, please go to podcastalley.com or iTunes or any of the other podcast aggregators and write a review, leave a vote. Leave a rating, do whatever you can do.
The last time I looked, we were just at like just under 50 reviews in iTunes.
I think 49 reviews in iTunes, and we actually continue to surge on Podcast Alley. And please, you know, please help.
We appreciate it.
We definitely appreciate it. And spread the word about iFanboy. Go to your comic book store, tell other people about it. Tune people on to the world of podcasting because it's the future.
Stick your little earbuds in their ears. Listen to this, and they just hear Ron. The hell is this?
Chicks.
Some chicks smell good. I'm not listening to this drivel.
And if you like the drivel and you want to help the cause, you can go to ifanboy.com/donations, and there's a couple of different ways for you to donate. And as aforementioned in previous podcasts, we are all now in the same city, and we've got some great plans for iFanboy for the future, and your dollars help that.
We so need some equipment is what we're saying.
Basically.
Wait a minute. I haven't been
listen,
told anything.
You're out there. You're writing in. You're saying, listen, it doesn't sound so good all the time.
Yep.
You know what? You want it to sound better? Pony up.
And the thing is, we're too busy spending our money on the comics as opposed to the equipment. So
and you girls. Do you know why?
And girls.
You know why I'm spending money on comics? Because when we first started this, people were like, "You're not reading anything." So I started reading a lot more, and now every week I go there and I'm like, "Oh Jesus, I can't read all these books, but there's so many good ones."
Yeah, it's tough. So
we've never spent any of the donation money for comics.
We've never actually spent any of the donation money yet. No, that's funny. No, it's not going towards comics. It's definitely going towards equipment to make the podcast better and make other things better. And we'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
So so that said, I think that that's about it for this week.
Are you guys winded?
I'm a little winded.
I'm a little winded.
The end takes a lot out of us. I don't know if anyone's realized that or not.
I think they can tell.
Yeah, they can tell. They're like, we go, that about wraps it up. And they look at their little thing on the iPod, and it says there's 12 minutes to go.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, wait a minute. How can that be so? And then it devolves into this miasma of
miasma.
Us laughing at it. Yeah, that's right. It may not even be the right word, but I
it
don't think
it sounded, impressive.
Got my attention.
Yeah. And, so.
Oh,
someone's calling somebody.
Oh, you know what's funny is I told Lindsay to take the phone out of the room, but it's the bass.
Oh,
the bass. You got to turn the bass off.
You got to turn the bass down.
Apparently, that was loud.
That was loud. So, Saved by the Bell. I'm Ron.
I'm Josh with the phone.
I'm Josh. I'm Connor.
And we're a mess.
I have my New York plates today.
Oh, nice. Wow.
And the letters on it are DTH. Which immediately made me think they're okay with it.
As you know, back in 1970, I started on a series called What Happened? And every time something would go wrong, I would look at the camera and say, hey, what happened? We had a lot of fun with that and a lot of other catchphrases. I got a real red wagon. And I can't do my work. And I believe I was the first one to use the phrase, I don't think so. But it only lasted a year, and that's good because that's how you establish a cult.